I didn't realize when I was growing up that many things that I experienced growing up would someday become sermon illustrations. And often I think, God, man, thank you for this memory, but thank you for this experiential life. And some of the things that I remember and some of the things I've learned from and some of the things that are illustrations now were mistakes I made or bad choices that I made. And I can see now God has redeemed those, and I can use those to minister to people or just to be able to understand the Word of God better. Now, did I need to do those things to understand the Word of God? I don't think so. But in God's grace and His mercy, He uses those things. I had a very experiential childhood and teenagehood, and I was so glad that I did not grow up in an electronic age. Our electronics were get outside. When can we come back in? When it's dark. You know, type of deal. That was our experience outside. We had a lot of experience outside. My dad, as I said before, has become a farmer, a full-time farmer, when I was 10 years old, 11 years old. And so by the time I was 11, 12, 13, I was learning how to work and work hard because I was watching my dad. And my dad would have this expectation of us working hard, but he didn't expect you to do something he wasn't doing. He worked hard. And just the observation, not only the proclamation that would come from his lips, but just observing him and his work, he worked hard. So we learned how to work hard. But I can remember on the farm and the different tractors that we had. And really, as you start out, the John Deere 50 was the first. You know, it's kind of like the tricycle, you know, it's like if you can get it with the tricycle, if you can drive this six-speed, top speed of 14 miles an hour, you know, hand clutch brakes. It was a tricycle and front end, a narrow front end. But if you could learn how to do that, and you always would start like raking hay, or you would start with maybe dragging the field, getting it ready for planting, or color packing, which was one of the most boring sports there is in farming, is to color pack. And that was something that my dad would do after he planted some grass seed or oats to kind of bed the oats into the soil better and to smooth out the field because that was going to be a hay field in the future. But I can remember going through those stages of the John Deere 50, and I got so tired maybe of driving the John Deere 50 because my dad had a 190 XT Alice Charmer. Okay, now we're talking 90-plus horsepower. We're talking turbo diesel. We're talking black smoke rolling type of deal. Well, I'm telling you, at a 12 or 13-year-old, you wanted to drive the 190. That was what you want. So you were taking steps and learning and behaving yourself, so to speak, on the John Deere 50 or the old case, because someday the badge of honor would be that you are on the 190. The 190 XT was a workhorse. From the 64 to 71, they built like 20-some thousand of these tractors, Alice did. And they were just really pound for pound. And maybe I'm just because I saw one as a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, pound for pound, they were as powerful as any tractor I think out there. And I wanted to drive one. I wanted to drive it. Well, by the time I was 15 years old, I had kind of passed the test and passed the levels that you need to pass on the case and on the John Deere 50 so that I could drive the 190. And often my dad would let you drive the 190. Maybe he was on the fender. You know, he was. It was just this stage to get in and to be able to handle it, because I tell you, it was at that time, we're talking the early 80s. Late 70s. That was a lot of tractor. A lot of tractor for a dad to trust a 15-year-old with. And he knew what the power of the tractor was. And so, but I graduated from the John Deere 50, from the case. The case was kind of the first. The case didn't have any power steering. So that's where you build your muscles up. But I graduated, and I got to the 190 XT, and I spent many hours on that 190 XT doing all kinds of things. And that was the main tractor of the farm, because the John Deere 50, it, like 20 horsepower, wouldn't cut it. You couldn't do certain jobs on the farm with that 190 with the John Deere 50. But the 190 XT. And I can remember one time it was like maybe 79 or 80, something like that. I was 14, 15 years old, 15 or 16 years old. I was charged with mowing the hay in this one very large hay field. And I, by that time, I didn't need dad in the fender anymore. And I knew how to navigate this tractor. And we had this doesn't matter to some of you maybe, but a New Holland 469 hay baler. Why I remember those things, I don't know. They're just stuck. I try to remember a verse in the Bible, and I can't remember it, but I can remember what I mowed a field with in 1979. But it was a New Holland 469, big reel on the front, sickle bar, you know, a 9-foot cut, 9-foot three, I think they were. And you were really harvested. I'm telling you what, I've run the sidearm mower too, and I've run a crusher. I tell you, when you got to the 469, you'd moved up. And so I was charged with mowing this field. My dad had got from the neighbors, he was going to cut the hay off this field. And the neighbor wanted him to work this field, but the hay hadn't been cut in many, many years. Several years hadn't been cut off this field. So I think that my dad was going to plan on plowing it in the fall. It was late summer by this time. I guess the deal was made. I wasn't in on the deal making or anything like that. I was just in on the work. But I can remember cutting that hay field. I was charged with cutting that hay field with this warning: be careful, because that hasn't been cut in several years. You just don't know what's in the hay field. You don't know how many woodchucks have dug holes in that hay field. And I know I need to get going here on this. But this is, I can remember those moments. And I can remember going out and starting, and you kind of drove the backwards around the field to get the first time around the field, so you weren't driving out in the hedgerow. And so I mowed around that, and it was pretty thick because it hadn't been mowed, and old grass from years gone by that had just fallen down, and it's kind of a wadded mess, so you needed to kind of take your time. And I was doing that, and I was doing really well, and I was mowing this field, and of course the windrows come out pretty heavily because it had been all summer, and it had been several summers before that, so you got quite a mound of hay behind the mower. And I was doing really fine, and then I have written my notes until this one moment happened. And I guess all the stories are just stories until they have an until in there. And as I was mowing the field, and I run through, and I was probably half done in the field, and all of a sudden I'd run across something that was just ignited something in the field. Not like a fire, but all of a sudden there were thousands of bees. Thousands of bees all around the equipment, all around the 469. They didn't care if it was a 190 XT or not. They didn't care if it was a John Deere 50. They come alive. I had mowed across this ground bees or this hornets or yellow jackets. All I know is they were yellow, and they were not happy. Just literally thousands of bees come up out of the grass. And they were swarming, and they were angry, and they were wanting to express their anger to someone. In force, I was the closest to them. But the cool part of it was this. That 190 XT had a cab. It had a cab. And all of a sudden, the one window was blackened with bees. You couldn't see out the window. The bees were stuck to the window, but they could not get inside the cab. The cab had protected me. The cab was serving what it needed to do at that moment. I was safe from the destruction because the cab was around me. I was never so grateful that I didn't have the John Deere 50. No cab. Or the old case, no cab. At that moment in my life, when I had run across something as dangerous as thousands of bees, the cab was there. The cab did its job. The cab protected me. And from that story, I get to learn more about God every day. And as I learn in Psalm 46, as I start to look at Psalm 46, I see that picture of that calf, and I see that picture of those bees, and I see that whole scenario again and again and again. Listen to Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. You better believe me. There is a cab that's an ever-present help in trouble when you just run over a whole nest of ground bees. And God says, that's the way I wanted to take that picture that you saw, that you experienced when you were 15 years old. I want to take that picture, and I want to teach you something about me. That's what he did this past week. I want to teach you something about me. And that's the way God works in my life. God teaches me by pictures and memories and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, I start to get what God is saying. And I start to see what he wants me to see and what he wants me to know. That God is our refuge, those that are in this relationship with him, those that are in the cab, so to speak. Those that are in the cab, he is the refuge of those that are inside of him. He is your refuge as you are a believer in Jesus Christ. He is the cab around you. He is your refuge. And it goes on to say he is your strength and he is your ever-present help in trouble. He is the shelter or the safe place, the strength, the might, the security, the power, the help or the aid or the assistance that you need. I'm not sure where that story would have gone if I had not had a cab. And I'm not sure where the stories of my life would have gone if I would not have had a God. The struggles that we have been in this world, the things we have been up against in this world, the things that you're up against right now, there are bees swarming all over you. There are bees swarming all over your family, all over your cab. They're all over you. But I want to encourage you this morning that God is your refuge. God is your cab. God is your strength. God is your help. When Jesus was in the garden, it says in Luke, it says this: Jesus withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me, yet not my will, yours be done." And the angels from heaven appeared to Jesus and strengthened Jesus. That's the cab. If Jesus needed a cab, so do you and I. And at those moments in life when the bees of life were surrounding Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and they were threatening to take the life out of him, God sent the help. God sent the refuge. God sent the strength that his son needed in the Garden of Gethsemane. God is this holy hospital, this holy restaurant, this holy rehab, and this holy fitness center all wrapped up into one. He is the cab that we have in life. Look at verses 2 and 3. Therefore, because you got a cab, therefore, because you got a God, therefore, because your God is your refuge, therefore, because your God is your strength, therefore, because your God is your help, therefore, look what he says, therefore, we will not fear. We will not fear. Therefore, we will not be afraid. All of a sudden, I was not afraid of 1,000 bees. Believe you me, when I was younger than that, I knocked down a tree. My brother and I said, "Hey, we're going to see if we can knock down this old tree." We don't know why. It just seemed like something to do. And I tell you what, we got to rocking this tree and rocking this tree and rocking this tree. Yep, and some of the top fell out of it. And it come down, whoom, right beside us. Whoo, almost hit us. You know, we call them widowmakers now. But we were rocking this tree and rocking this tree. All of a sudden, crack, smooth, bang, onto the ground. And we were like, "Whoo!" And all of a sudden, out come from that tree come bees. They were less than impressed that we had just destroyed their home. And that time in my life, I didn't have any cab. So I know what it is not to have a cab and have the bees show up. And I know what it is to have a cab and have the bees show up. And therefore, I was not afraid. Therefore, there was something different about being in a tractor with a cab. Therefore, because God was there. Therefore, look what he says, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake and where they're surging. Even though when all that's going on, even though when there's all of a sudden there's 1,000 angry bees around you. It says the earth, the world is foaming, quaking, and surging. You ever feel that in your life? That the world is just foaming, quaking, and surging. It sounds like a rabid wolf to me. Foaming, quaking, surging. I like it when people post on Facebook, throw me to the wolves and I'll come back leading the pack. Probably not, you'll come back wolf food. Just to be honest. I just get a big kick out of how courageous we are on Facebook. I'm telling you what, you be thrown to the wolves, you're going to become wolf food. And all of a sudden, you're going to become wolf poop. You ain't leading any pack. And he says, this world is foaming, this world is quaking, and this world is surging. And he says, I will not fear. I will not fear because I'm in a cab. Because I have refuge in my God. But we're going to go to verse 4. Because verse 4, there's more than a cab to the 190. The 190 had traction. The 190 had power. The 190 had a lot of stuff going for it. The cab was just a portion of the entire tractor. And it says you got a cab with God. But you just can't just rely on a cab all the time. There's more to God than a cab. And if you're reading, it's more than a cab. He's more than a cab. New Lifers, he's more than a cab. And I think that's what the psalmist starts to realize in his life. And he's proclaiming that out, that your God is more than just a cab. Just someone that can show up and the bees show up in my life. He's got more for you than that. That 190 worked day in and day out. That 190 was a workhorse. That 190 plowed fields year after year, disc. It did all the work on the farm. When you go from a 20-horse tractor to a 95-horse tractor, the 95-horse tractor has to do most of the work. Your God, my God, is more than a cab. Look at verse 4 says, there is a river whose streams. Oh, hang on, because there is a river from God. He said, I'm more than a cab. I'm more than just your spare tire. I'm more than just here to protect you. I'm more than just your refuge. I'm more than just your holy hospital. I'm more than just your fitness center. I'm more than that. There is a river that flows out of me. There is a river that flows out of me. There is a river. There is a river that flows from the very presence of God. This river is not altered by the foaming, by the quaking, by the surging of this world. This river cannot be interrupted by the enemy. Are you with me this morning? The world can't do a thing about the river that's coming from God. And the river that's coming from God is more than a cab in your life. It is horsepower. It is power. It is traction to live life. He said, I'm your cab, and I'll be your refuge, and I'm going to be your strength, and I'm going to be your help. I'm going to be that. I'm already that. When the bees show up, we will not fear, because you, God, are my cab. But God says, you got to know one thing. I'm more than a cab. Because there's rivers that flow. There's a river that flows out of me. Listen, if God was just your cab, there wouldn't be any living river flowing out of him from his very presence. River that the river waters that the enemy cannot alter. That the quaking and the foaming and the surging of this world cannot disrupt this river. God said, there is a river that flows out of me. It's not stale or polluted. And the river has streams, it says. And the river, there is a river whose streams. There's a river. And I just thought that was so cool this week as I just spent some time digging into that. God, what does that mean? He said, there's one river and there's many streams. I get everything you need. And I'll send a stream, and what you need is my provision, and I'll send it to you. Out of one river, out of one God, comes streams. You don't need to run around and try to figure it out again. I've got it. You got to let the river pour into you. There's the river. It carries the divine provision, the divine provision, the faith, the power, the love, and the goodness, all the streams that come out of the river. New Lifers, we got a river. We got a cab. But we got horsepower too. And we got power. And we got traction. We are in the 190. And you got the provision, the stream that provides faith and power and love and goodness, the streams of wisdom and courage and light and boldness, the streams of stamina and trust and humility and passion, the streams of vision and hearing and focus and ability, the ability for the signs that we talked about last week, the ability for the wonders that we talked about last week, the abilities for the mighty works that we talked about last week. The ability for that apostolic anointing. Thank you for all the pictures of the Hawks you sent me this week. Thank you for the testimonies of the Hawks that you've seen. You're aware. Were they there before? I don't know. But we're aware that there is a river flowing from God, and it's an anointing flowing from God. And God says, I'm more than just your spare tire. Will you just stop showing up in my life when you got a need? I'll take you. I'm your cab, but I got horsepower. I got traction. I got power for you too. Because there is a river that flows out of me. And it has many streams. And everything that you need comes from my stream. Listen to what he says in Jeremiah 2:13. God says, my people have committed two sins. Number one, they have forsaken me, the spring of living water. And number two, they have dug their own cisterns. And those cisterns won't even hold water. They have forsaken the river. And they've gone over here and they try to hand hew their own river. They try to dig their own river. And there's no water in it. And I can feel the compassion in God and the heartbreak in God and the grieving in God when he proclaims that through the prophet Jeremiah. I got so much for you, he said. I got that river, but you keep digging your own cisterns. And your cisterns can't even hold water. And there is no living water in the cisterns. It's in the river. And Jeremiah, in that second chapter of Jeremiah, he's longing. God is longing for those to connect to the river because our God is more than a cab. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Makes glad, or in the Hebrew, lights up. Those streams light up the city of God. They light it up. Those streams light it up. The cisterns don't light it up. The river of life lights it up. When those streams flow from God and those provisions flow into us, and that vision and that wisdom and that courage and those signs and those wonders and those mighty works and that ability and that love and that power and that faith and that boldness flow into us, it lights us up. It makes glad the city of God. Ephesians 2:22 says this, and in Jesus you two are being built together to become the dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. We're not just talking Old Testament stuff. We're talking now, 2020, August 9th. God said, I am the same God. I'm more than your cab. There's a river that flows out of me. There are streams that come out of that river, and they're feeding you, and they're going to light you up. Look at verse 5. God is within her, or this city, or this church, capital C church. God is where he's living, and that says you are being built together where God lives by his Spirit. So God is within her. She, the church, will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. God is within her. God is in the church. And God says, if I'm for you, who can be against you? God says, I'm your cab, you bet. And I'm your river, yeah. And I neck it down to streams because you can't handle the river all at once. And I will light you up. And I am within you. Why? He chose us. Why not? Because he chose us. He bought us. His son is the CEO. And he gave us a mission. She will not fail. The enemy may toss her in the waves of this world, but it cannot sink you. It cannot sink the church. The enemy cannot defeat the church. It is impossible for the enemy to defeat the church. Because God is in the church. Because God says, I'm in you. Because God said, you will not fall. I'm your cab, but I'm your horsepower too. Because there's river flowing out of me, and I broke it down into streams. And when they land on you, they will light you up. And the enemy will not be able to defeat you. The enemy will not be able to take you out, church. It will not be able to take you out. Verse 6 says, nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He, God, lifts his voice, and the earth melts. See, I think every once in a while, God throws a little, wait a minute. I know what you're looking at. You're looking at the uproar. You're looking at the bees. But you know what that calf's hooked to? Horsepower! Get out of there! I've got a job for you. I got a mission for you. And this world is in uproar. This kingdoms will fall. The nation is uproar. The world is waging war. The kingdoms are falling. Regimes are being snuffed out. Governments are crashing. And the earthly kings are being dethroned. And all why that's going on, God said, my voice is still powerful. And I'm in you. You will not fall because I got a river broken down into streams. And when they come into you, it will light you up. Second Samuel 22, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, 52 verses. Listen to this, some of it this morning. The waves of death circled around me. The torrent of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called out to Yahweh. I called to my Elohim, and from his temple he heard my voice. My cry came to his ears. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the heavens shook. They trembled because God was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Blazing coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and he came down, and dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his canopy around him and dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, bolts of lightning blazed forth. And the Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot arrows and scattered the enemy, bolts of lightning, and routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed, and the foundation of the earth laid barren at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of breath from his nostril. Can you imagine if he opened his mouth? You ever try to blow out your birthday candles? Please don't try this if I'm at your birthday party. But you ever try to blow it out with your breath of your nostril? And God laid it barren just by blowing through his nostril. But verse 17, the very next verse after what I just read, says this: he reached down from on high and he took a hold of me, and he drew me out of the deep water. Nothing can stop God. Nothing can stop your God. Your God is more than a cab. Your God is, and my God, is horsepower, power, traction. Your God is the workhorse of the farm. And when he shows up, things happen. And all that power and all that might and all that gentleness wrapped in perfect unity. As he took a hold of one child. Look at verse 7. The Lord Almighty, or the Lord of hosts, is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The Lord Almighty, the God of hosts, the commander in chief of everything. Everything is under his command. The angels, the sea, the mountains, the stars, the sun, the moon, the entire creation. If the Lord of hosts sends the angelic force, they go. Nothing stops them. If the Lord speaks to the seas, it responds. If he tells the sun to stand still, it stands still. Why? Because he is the Lord of hosts. Because he is the commander in chief over all of creation. He said, you got to know this. You got to know this. You got to know I'm more than a cab. I'm a river broken into streams. And when I flow into you, you light up. And nothing can stop you because I'm in you. And nothing can stop me because I am the Lord of hosts. Because when I say to the angels, go, they go. When I say to the sea, quiet, it quiets. When I say to the mountain, move, it moves. When I say to the lions and tigers and bears, oh my, then they go. Because everything responds to me. Look what he's doing. He goes from the refuge, and the word now he uses in 7 is fortress. You know what a fortress is? A fortress is a fighting vantage position. Are you with me this morning? If you don't get anything else, get this. From the refuge, the cab, to the fortress. I have put you in your vantage point. I have put you where you can fight from now. And I want you to fight. You're no longer in the refuge. I will use the cab as I need to in your life. But don't forget, I'm more than a cab. I'm also a fortress. I am a fortress. I am the vantage point where you can fight. Look what he says in verse 8. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolation he has brought to the earth. The victories that God has. What he's doing. Come and see. I like one translation says, behold! He has done these mighty works for his church and through his church. The Lord brings destruction to the would-be destroyer. The Lord brings defeat to the would-be defeaters of this world. Do you realize that? And he does that many times through the church, through you. Because God is in you. And because my God and your God is more than a cab. He's a river, streams, lighting up God. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to stand against its forward movement. Nothing can stop the church. Look what it says in verse 9. On the last page of notes, so hang with me. He makes a war cease to the ends of the earth. Just stop. This is going to take a lifetime for this to stop. I get things from that. I go to see the doctors, and the doctors will say, well, this, you're going to take this medicine for this long, and then this medicine for this long. And over this period of time, your illness will get better. And often maybe that's the case, but God says, I can stop it. I make wars stop. They cease to be. They're gone. Verses like this come to my mind, and listen, I'm not going to start any political battles, but when you talk, oh, COVID-19 is going to be around 2021, you have no idea what my God can stop. Don't tell me about the fall, and don't tell me about the spring, and don't tell me about 2022. You don't even know what you're doing tomorrow. And my God can stop it. And my God stops wars. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns up the shields with fire. Wars just stop. The advancement of the enemy is stopped. Is stopped at the voice of the church. Because God is in us. He's more than a cab, New Life. I'm glad he's a cab. Because I am awful glad I'm not telling you a story of how I survived 1,000 bee stings. I'm glad I'm telling you a story about a cab. And I'm glad I tell stories about God being my cab. But frankly, I want to tell stories about God being my horsepower. About God being my strength, about God being my forward motion, about God, how God has stopped sicknesses through us, how God has stopped wars through us, as he has empowered the church to stand up and say, no, you will not cross this border. See, I think I've been so programmed in my life, even when I say that, I wonder if that's true, God. And then I go through 1,000 reasons why it's not true. And I have all this conversation. While I'm preaching, I'm talking to you right now. That's what my other half of my brain's doing, is trying to convince me that that's not true. Isn't the brain a remarkable thing? It can argue with itself while you're trying to proclaim the truth. And it can argue and try to infiltrate falseness. And God said, wait a minute, I can stop it. I can cease wars. I will build my church for his church and through his church, for his church and through his church. The river is flowing. Rise up, church. And then the verse, well, we all know the verse toward the end of Psalm 46, 10, it says, be still and know that I am God. But when you marry that with the other 9 verses, it makes so much more sense to me now. I see you getting a little rattled over there. Wait a minute, be still. Tell the other half of your brain, shut up. Listen to me, he said, be still, relax. As I've heard my daughter tell her daughters, breathe. Just breathe. That's what God's saying. Just breathe. I am a river. I am in you. You will not fall. I will be exalted. I love the end of that verse. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I will be exalted. I'll be raised up. I will be made known in your world when you let me do it. Light you up. And just to be honest, I always think about, well, that's going to really make me weird. And I've just got to get used to that. Because to some, you'll be weird. And to others, you'll be the light of Christ. I will risk weirdness for the light of Jesus. Look how he finishes this, and it's only 11 verses, but look how he finishes it. The Lord of hosts, the Lord Almighty is with us. New Life, he is with us. The God of Jacob is our fighting position, is our fortress. God is more than a cab. He is the workhorse of the church. He is a God who is a river, who breaks it down into streams, who lights us up, who indwells us, who guarantees you're not going to fall. Don't dig handmade cisterns. Let the river of life flow into you. And when you get rattled, just be still and know that I'm God. And watch what I do in and through you in this world. Because I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these moments together today. Lord, thank you for how you've navigated us and you've brought us here to this very day. Of all the days of all of creation, you have ordained this day for us. And I believe with all my heart you have chosen us to hear this truth today. And I think that when you were speaking the days into existence so many thousand years ago, that you knew that August, it's labeled August 9th, 2020 now, and maybe you gave it that day, but you knew this day was going to be here, and you knew I was going to be here, and you knew the people were going to, we're all going to be here. And you also knew that we needed to know that even though the bees are around us, you're our refuge. But you're not just sitting in a cab. You're behind the steering wheel of a powerful tractor. And that 190 XC is called the church. So, Father, I know that in my life, and I know that in people's lives sitting here today, the world is foaming and quaking and surging. And I pray in the name of Jesus that we would feel the river and the streams, and we would feel being lit up by God, and we will feel the fortress. And we will feel that fighting vantage point that you've given us. And we will fight. God, you are our God. And I am so lucky. And so fortunate that that's truth. Father, we're going to open our eyes here in a few moments, and I'm going to say amen, which just means let it be, Lord. I'm going to open my eyes, and we're going to say have a great day. But Father, I pray that we leave here today drinking from the streams, so that we can be lit up, so we can move to the fortress. Father, again, I say thank you for this day. I thank you for loving us. And in Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.